Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I am John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Monday, February 20th, 2017. UN agencies declare famine in South Sudan.
If we had peace and could work on agricultural development, then yes, in the long run, there's enormous potential for South Sudanese agriculture. But you can't farm when you're fighting. Or you can't farm when it's not safe to go into your fields because somebody else is fighting.
And the South Sudan Army says it remains strong despite a wave of recent resignations.
The defections of 2 to 3 officers is not going to affect the cohesion of this national army, its ability to maintain law and order, its ability to ensure that justice is done to lawbreakers, to ensure that security is maintained across the country.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. 3 UN agencies and the government of South Sudan announced today famine has struck 2 counties in Unity State, affecting more than 100,000 people due to the more than 3-year-long conflict and ongoing economic crisis. The agencies warned that the famine could spread further. From Nairobi, VOA's Jill Craig has more.
Famine can now be added to the list of South Sudan's problems. According to the government and the UN International Children's Fund, Food and Agriculture Organization, and World Food Program, they say conflict, a collapsing economy, high food prices, and low agricultural production are to blame for food insecurity across the country, and now for famine in 2 counties in southern Unity State. Chalice McDonough, spokeswoman for the UN Food Program in East Africa, explains the Joint Technical Committee's decision.
That means that the conditions have deteriorated to pretty much the worst on the scale that we use to measure food security. You've got nutrition rates that are astronomical. You've got people with very limited access to food. The mortality rate is above the level that's required. They have announced that although you've got a bad food security situation throughout the country, that in those 2 specific counties, things are about as bad as they can get.
While many people are struggling with food insecurity, McDonough says there is a reason famine has struck these 2 areas in particular.
It's because the conflict has been intense there, or there's been, you know, a lot of different armed groups. It's been very difficult to negotiate safe access, both for the aid workers and for the people that they're trying to assist, so that you can be sure that if you go in and give food and other types of assistance to people, that they're not going to be attacked because of the food.
1 million people are classified as being on the brink of famine. According to numbers released by the government and the United Nations, an estimated 5 million South Sudanese are severely food insecure, a number projected to increase to 5.5 million people, or roughly half of South Sudan's population, by July. The chairman of South Sudan's National Bureau of Statistics released a statement acknowledging the concerns of this projection and urging all actors to scale up their efforts in the coming months in order to prevent further deterioration of food insecurity and malnutrition in the country. McDonough adds that the agricultural sector in South Sudan is undeveloped under usual conditions, but the current situation prevents people from improving it.
If we had peace and could work on agricultural development, then yes, in the long run, there's enormous potential for South Sudanese agriculture. But you can't farm when you're fighting, or you can't farm when it's not safe to go into your fields because somebody else is fighting.
Since the start of the war in December 2013, tens of thousands of people have died. The UN Refugee Agency says neighboring Uganda is hosting roughly 700,000 South Sudanese refugees as people continue to flee. Additionally, the UN is expressing concern that critical shortages in food assistance are affecting 2 million refugees in 10 countries across Africa. Jill Craig, VOA News, Nairobi.
The South Sudan Army says it will not be affected by a wave of recent resignation of top officers. The military spokesman denies allegations by departing commanders that President Salva Kiir and other SPLA leaders have turned the army into a tribal entity. Mungume Davis Rakarinj has the story for VOA from Juba.
Last week, General Thomas Chililo, the Deputy Chief of Staff for Logistics and Operations, resigned from the army, accusing the SPLA leadership of failing to reform the army according to the 2015 peace agreement. This past weekend, General Khalid Onoloki and Brigadier Henry Oyai Nyango, who ran the military court, resigned. General Onoloki says the army system seems, in two quotes, too deformed to be reformed, and says he cannot continue working for a tribal army. Both generals accused the army's leadership of committing crimes against humanity, including rape and murder. Military spokesman Brigadier Lul Ruai Kwang insists the army is committed to accountability, noting that 82 soldiers were demoted or sentenced to prison for crimes committed last year.
We urge officers, NCOs and men who were paraded here for the crimes they had committed. Rape, murder, looting, some were demoted, some were stripped of their ranks, some lost their seniority, some were sentenced to jail for 14 years.
Kwang also flattered nice the SPLOA has turned into a tribal army, saying the men and women who serve in the SPLOA are from different ethnic groups.
Before Shirilo defected, was he the only Bari in the SPLA? He wasn't. Before Henry Oyai defected, was he the only Shuluk from the SPLA? He wasn't. Before Khalid, or no, defected or resigned from SPLA, was he the only Murle? He wasn't. If there is any army that has a national composition with a better national outlook, then it is the SPLA. Go to an office here, in this office alone. I'm a Nuer. My deputy is a Dinka. I have the other information officer, is a Lutuko.
Kwang says the officers who defected are joining what he calls uncoordinated tribal militias. He told journalists gathered at the Juba news conference this afternoon that SPLA soldiers will continue to do their work even though some of their colleagues have resigned.
The defections of 2 to 3 officers is not going to affect the cohesion of this national army, its ability to maintain law and order, its ability to ensure that justice is done to lawbreakers, to ensure that security is maintained across the country.
But UN officials, civil rights activists, and others say the government has not done enough to crack down on government forces who continue to kill unarmed civilians, rape women and girls, and call out other acts of brutality. For VOA News, I am Mugume, Davis Ruakarinj in Juba.
Local county community leaders in Jubek State are calling on the government forces to withdraw from the area after accusing soldiers of abusing civilians in Kubi village last week. Local leaders accused the soldiers of raping several women and girls. They also called for immediate release of 4 youth being held by soldiers. Tito Justin, who recently visited the area, has more for VOA from Juba.
Hundreds of members of the Luluba community sang the song Ale Ajuku in their local language, which means "We don't want war," during a prayer service yesterday organized by local church leaders who visited the area to understand why more than 3,000 Kubi residents fled their homes last week. Residents say government soldiers raped several women, destroyed properties, and arrested dozens of youth. Some of those displaced have since returned to the village, but say they are too afraid to live in their homes because they say soldiers deployed in the area continue to threaten them. Speaking Arabic, Philip Ladu Samuel, a chief of the Aruboma in Kubi village, describes why residents are afraid to return to their homes.
This commander called James should be transferred away from Jebelin, because he is the one destroying our country. This is the information I'm sending to you. I want to tell the government that Tiger has a problem with us here. National security and other soldiers patrol the area and have no problem with us. They just greet us, but the Tiger soldiers always say that they will destroy us in Kubi.
Samuel says soldiers arrested 47 people, including himself, for no reason. He says 43 were released, but the whereabouts of the other 4 youths remains unknown. He is asking the SPLA to free the youths he says are innocent.
These youth, we want them to be released. The 2 youth are not soldiers. The woman is not a soldier, but her husband, also detained, is a military police. He came with permission and a letter. He was mentally sick, That is why he was released to come home here in 2014. These youth, we want to know where they are and let them bring these youth to us.
Lako Ladu, youth leader of the area, is urging the government to cooperate with the civilians in the area. He calls on the SPLA leadership not to allow militia groups to threaten the civilian population. Ladu says what a section of the Tiger Force did is tainting the image of the government.
The Matiang Anyors do come here and what they know is raping girls, looting properties, and sometimes killing when they get you. We are telling the government if the Matiang Anyors are the ones destroying our government and bringing bad image to the government, let them look ways for the Matiang Anyor and leave the National 20 soldiers to work in our place.
SPLA military spokesman Brigadier Lul Roy Kong says the SPLA leadership will not transfer Tiger forces from Kubi because it's still waiting for findings from its committee tasked with investigating the alleged violence in the area.
Please bear with us, give us some time for them to do their work. They get back to us with the report. So until then, we won't be in a position to have all these details that we have talked about. And of course, the investigation has just started. Once the investigation ends, they will have a list of culprits, how many of them, which should be charged for what.
A church leader in Kubi says the community would like to know why the Tiger forces are against the civil population. Paul Yugusuk, Bishop of the Episcopal Church of Sudan and South Sudan, suggests talks between the communities and the Tiger Force in the area to prevent future violence.
They want to go elsewhere because of fear. So we are encouraging a dialogue between army and community. This is very important so that there will be understanding between the community and the youth. Otherwise, nobody will remain in this village.
The security situation in the area is calm for now, but residents say they still live in fear following last week's violence. The people of Kubi village have threatened to leave their area to move to a safer place or to the neighboring countries like Uganda as refugees. For VOA News, I am Tito Justin in Juba.
Some South Sudanese women say they welcome a national dialogue announced by President Salva Kiir last year, but echo church leaders and civil society activists who have said the dialogue must be inclusive if it's going to be successful. Michael Atit has more for VOA from Juba.
Shalom, shalom, Junub Sudan.
About 200 women chanted in Arabic, "We need peace in South Sudan," on Saturday as they marched from Midan Tijaria to Emmanuel Church in Juba's High Cinema. Agnes Wasuk, secretary for the National Women's Program of the South Sudan Council of Churches, says if implemented in good faith, the dialogue could bring about lasting peace if everyone is included in the talks.
From the grassroots, from the IDPs, for those who have gone outside the country, even those in the opposition, so that we really feel that everybody's in and everybody can air out what problem. We share the problems, we come up with solutions so that we experience total peace.
Despite repeated efforts by church leaders and others to mediate peace talks between the warring parties, Wasuk says the killings continue. Assunta Bernardino, who also prayed for peace with women in Juba last weekend, says the dialogue provides a chance for South Sudanese to forgive and reconcile with one another and to appreciate each other's differences to open the new way for peace.
I think the issue of dialogue is very important because if there is any difference, we have to come together and dialogue in everything so that we can remember that we have differences, how to manage, how to deal, how to put it in a proper way. At that level, when we reach that level, we can say that we can achieve peace.
President Salva Kiir said at a public rally in Yei recently that the dialogue will begin in early March. Gender, Child and Social Welfare Minister Awuddeng Achwil, who attended the prayer service, urged women to advocate for peace in their communities and encourage everyone to participate in the national dialogue.
Every citizen in South Sudan has the responsibility to contribute in promoting peace, in building peace, in playing a critical role to reconcile our people our families, our community, and our country as a whole, so that we have a blessed country that will honor God.
Reverend Joseph Bilal, a vice chancellor for the Episcopal University in Juba, was the main preacher at the service. He says church leaders are ready to support any move that will end the brutal killings and human rights abuses across the country.
We will support whatsoever idea that come up that they need peace, but it shouldn't be done on a self-centered issue. It must be done inclusively, include others. Desmond Tutu once said this, that if you want peace, you don't need to talk to your friends, talk to your enemy. Are we doing this in South Sudan? Are we talking to our enemies, or we exclude other people to think then we will have peace?
Reverend Bilal says all groups that have taken up arms against the government should be included in the national dialogue, including the SPLA in opposition. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Juba.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, we take a look at poaching in Cameroon. That story is coming up next.
For in-depth news and analysis on events in South Sudan, tune in to South Sudan in Focus, Monday through Friday from 1630 to 1700 UTC. We are also on the web at www.voanews.com/South Sudan or download our podcast on iTunes. That's South Sudan in Focus on VOA Africa.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
if you were to suddenly get some money, what would you spend it on?
I'll invest it in starting my own business, and also I'll invest in my lady for her to also start her own business. Yes, I think that's what I'll do for now.
On my education, because I want to be a lecturer in the future, so I'm striving hard to get to that place.
I'll go to school and pursue new knowledge and learn new things to better myself.
I will open a playing center for children, a recreational center, where like over the weekends, like Saturday, Sunday, you can bring your child to have fun, then you take her back or him back. That's what I've been dreaming of. Yeah, this is what we don't have here.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus. Cameroon has banned more than 3 tons of pangolin skins and scales seized from smugglers and destined for Asian countries. Officials say by banning the skins of the world's most trafficked mammal and arresting smugglers, it is sending a strong signal that Cameroon would no longer be a country where poaching and smuggling is rampant. Muki Edwin Kinzeka reports from Yaounde.
Cameroon Minister of Forestry and Wildlife, Philip Ngolengwese, says the pangolin skins and scales were seized on 3 occasions at the Douala and Yaounde International Airports. He says 7 suspects are answering charges in Cameroon law courts.
Nous sensibilisons d'abord les populations.
He says they have educated the population that although pangolins are good to eat and are in high demand in Asian countries, they are now totally protected and should never be killed. He says all licenses to hunt in Cameroon indicate that pangolins should not be killed. He said pangolins should not be touched and weapons should be taken from pangolin poachers. Cameroon has decided the mammals, which resemble anteaters and are completely covered in scales, are going to be permanently protected. Last June, Hong Kong authorities seized 4 tons of pangolin scales being smuggled from Cameroon to Asian countries. According to Cameroon wildlife law, anybody arrested or found in possession of parts or the whole of a protected wild animal is presumed to have captured or killed that animal and is liable to a prison term of 1 to 3 years and or a 10 million CFA francs, that is $20,000 maximum fine. The Pangolin Specialist Group of the IUCN, the International Union for Conservation of Nature, reports that since 2012, more than 20,000 kilograms of scales of African pangolins bound for Asia have been seized either in Africa, Asia, or Europe. It is also estimated that more than 1 million pangolins have been taken from the wild in the last decade. Pangolins are under severe threat from criminals supplying China, Vietnam, and Malaysia, where the meat is considered a delicacy and their scales are thought to contain ingredients important in traditional medicine. Last September, during the 17th Conference of Parties, COP17, to the Convention on International Trade in Endangered Species, held in Cape Town, South Africa, countries united to ban international commercial trade in pangolins, said to be the world's most trafficked mammals. Moki Edwin Kinzeka for VOA News, Yaounde.
As evidence mounts about brain injuries among professional American football players, new research suggests that even soccer, the low-impact game, may be hard on the brain as well. VOA's Steve Baragona has more.
Ball meets head. That's just part of the game in soccer, the sport known worldwide as football. Inside your head, your brain is the consistency of a firm pudding, says John Hardy, professor of neuroscience at University College London.
But your blood vessels are just a little bit tougher, and so if you do a rapid rotation, they act like little cheese wires and do bits of damage around them.
In American football, hard hits are common, and concern is growing about what that does to players' brains. But it's not clear whether frequent head contact that happens in soccer is also a problem. So Hardy and colleagues studied the brains of 6 longtime soccer players who died with dementia. They found a type of brain damage called chronic traumatic encephalopathy in 4 of them. CTE is different from Alzheimer's disease, but Hardy says the results are similar.
And certainly they are additive pathology. So if you've got a little bit of brain damage to do with an Alzheimer change and a little bit of brain damage to do with CTE, you're more likely to be demented.
Soccer is the most popular sport in the world, with clear health and social benefits. And Hardy says this early stage research is not enough to pull the kids off the soccer field.
The people we've studied, these are people who were professional footballers, who played football probably every day of their lives for 25 to 30 years, probably many hours a day. This is very different from a casual weekend player or a school player. It's just a different order of magnitude of contact.
British soccer associations have pledged to support more research on the subject. Steve Baragona, VOA News.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Here is a recap of top stories with South Sudan in Focus. Editor Carol Van Damme.
Thanks, John. 3 UN agencies and the South Sudan government all say famine has hit 2 counties in Unity State, affecting more than 100,000 people, and they say it could spread further due to the conflict and the ongoing economic crisis. The government, the UN International Children's Fund, the Food and Agriculture Organization, and the World Food Program all say the conflict, a collapsing economy, high food prices, and low agricultural production are all to blame for food insecurity across the country, and now famine in 2 counties in southern Unity State. The UN Food Program in East Africa spokesperson Chalice McDonald explains the Joint Technical Committee's decision. She says that means conditions have deteriorated to pretty much the worst on the scale that we use to measure food security. She says you have got nutrition rates that are astronomical. You've got people with very limited access to food, and the mortality rate is above the level that's required. While many people are struggling with food insecurity, McDonald says the reason famine has struck these 2 areas is because the conflict has been intense there. She says it's been very difficult to negotiate safe access both for the aid workers and for the people who've been trying to assist. She says workers will not go into areas where they are likely to be attacked. The South Sudan Army says it will not be affected by a wave of recent resignations of top officers, and the Army spokesman denies allegations by departing commanders that President Salva Kiir and other SPLA leaders have turned the SPLA into what they call a tribal army. Last week, General Thomas Cirillo, the Deputy Chief of Staff for Logistics, resigned from the Army, accusing the SPLA leadership of failing to reform the Army according to the 2015 peace deal. This past weekend, General Khaled Onoloki, who ran the military court, resigned as well. General Onoloki says the army system seems too deformed to be reformed in his resignation letter. He also says he cannot continue working for what he calls a tribal army. Both generals accuse the army's leadership of committing crimes against humanity, including rape and murder. Military spokesman Brigadier Lul Roy Kwong insists the army is committed to accountability, noting that 82 soldiers were demoted or sentenced to prison for crimes that were committed last year. Kwong also flatly denies the SPLA has turned into a tribal army, saying the men and women who serve in the SPLA are from different ethnic backgrounds. And finally, local Leary County community leaders in Jubik State are calling on government forces to withdraw from the area after accusing soldiers of abusing civilians in Kubi Village. Last week, local leaders accused the soldiers of raping several women and girls. They also called for the immediate release of four youth that they say are being held by soldiers. Local church leaders who visited the area want to understand why more than 3,000 Kubi residents fled their homes last week. Residents said that soldiers raped several women, burned down homes, and arrested dozens of youth. And that's a look at some of today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Dam.
That's our show for this Monday. We now leave you with the song Reconciliation by Kebas.
Yeah, the homeboy Kebas and Leviticus Levi. You already know we're talking about reconciliation. Yeah, that's all we need. That's all we're praying for. Levi, tell him, say.
Lakini na mistaka seni, umoni keli manina deifi, lakini na inu ima, reconcileso ya uni na deru, reconcileso so da uni.
Tuwa di smulubari, kujaje di fehila bitana umbari, zamanuja fishari, ligolo white kid on bega soban tuwari, darau. They just run bit out. Humbagodu sawa kuli yom the cake bars for Levi. Friendship town bigger tala go we. The berenga te sharwai who us we go we. Lakini yom ina yam shitan. Daka fi ras bitan. Kada bukuat. Lahadi lupari has no bad to call a friend.
Forgiveness what I'm preaching.
I have a strong desire burning like a fire. Let us take time making we can take it higher. This the generation to change the nation. True peace and reconciliation.
Umondi keli manina masakin, lakini na mistakal sedi. Umondi keli manina deifi, lakini na inu imam. Reconcileso ya uni na deru. Reconcileso oda wini. Umondi keli manina masakin, lakini na mistakal sedi. Umondi keli manina deifi, lakini na inu imam.
Reconciliation,
let's walk as family, me and you, you and him. Let's try to meet our difference.
We've been listening to Kebas with the song Reconciliation. I am John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for being here. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
We don't love each other. There is nothing we can do if we don't forgive each other.